His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Still trying to get that message. Black power. Black power and more. Black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms, and comrade in battle. It's Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from the hells and smells of North America, here in the Black de God. As you hear Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, our national chairman, tell you he's coming from the Black House. Your big brother and comrade in battle, Sean Kwali, I'm coming from the Black de God. And so I'm happy to be here with you. And, of course, happy to be able to make war with this beast. And, of course, battle for the hearts and minds of my people. Now, normally, this would be our sister night, our night, one of our nights for the queens. But, unfortunately, our national assistant, Sister Mary Sankofa, she's a little under the weather and indisposed. And so it's not fair to make her come to the radio, even though she would as a soldier, to make her come to the radio when she's not feeling well. And so I felt it'd be just and it'd be right to come at you with another one of them hard-hitting topics. Y'all already know I'm straight in war mode, battle mode, as I've reached my peak with these slanders out here, these detractors out here, these defamers out here, these Uncle Tom Negroes out here spitting on our party, kicking our party, denying us, you know, our works, denying us our place in the sun, and everything. Enough of it. I'm the representative of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, his national spokesman. I come on behalf of a national central committee, and I come on behalf of some cold-blooded revolutionary freedom fighters called the New Black Panther Party. Enough is a damn enough. And so I open up this show giving thanks to the Black God of our forefathers and foremothers, by whatever name you choose to use in the language that you speak. Give thanks and honor to that God. Give balance, knowing that there's no God without the Goddess, the Black woman of the universe, co-created and creator of the universe. Giving thanks to that Black woman. And, of course, giving thanks to all of our ancestors who struggled, fought, bled, cried, lived, and died so that we could advance and be on this playing field and be on this stage to get this cracker hailed from the cradle to the grave. Of course, I give thanks for every single Panther regiment from whatever year you choose, whatever year they came, whatever ideology they had, giving thanks to them, all of the fallen comrades that are now resting in the clay, as we say. We give thanks for them. And, of course, we give thanks for a bold, bald-headed Black man, 100% Black man, who gave me and gave us an example of manhood, and in truth gave you an example and taught even our Black women how to be women, how to be kindly killers and freedom fighters. We give thanks for our Black power general, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, and we are thankful for his representative and number one student who's carrying on the mission and the flag today, a brother who is no lightweight chump by any means, any stretch of the imagination, a world traveler, a well-studied, well-versed black man, a man who happens to be an attorney by profession, but a warrior at heart, a warrior at heart. I'm talking about the warrior lawyer, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. I greet all of you all with black power. And for peace, Islam Alaikum and Hotep and Shalom. Free the land and black laws for all black people. I'm telling you straight up, family, we're here to make war with the beast. We've been on a campaign right now to destroy our enemies. We've been on a campaign right now to destroy our enemies as we have left many of you alone for months, I'm going to say some years. We've left you alone, and we've gone about our business. And as our national chairman has told us and taught us, that sometimes you just got to let the beast alone, leave the beast alone for a second and do what you're going to do and build what you got to build. But now that the movement is sustained, and now that we have some meat on the bones, and now that we have our grown man and our grown woman voice now we ready to get up out here. And so you already know, your big brother, Sean Kwali, I got to lead the charge, right? In tow and in step with our national chairman, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And as you can see on your marquee, we're talking about the NBPP versus the so-called Jew. The new Black Panther Party versus the so-called Jew. You say, why do you pick a subject like that, Brother Sean? Why would you even take on a subject like that? I take on a subject like that because that's the subject that the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad took on. That's the subject right there that caused a firestorm in 1994. It caused a firestorm all around the country where people were mad because he was explaining the secret relationship between blacks and Jews at King College. He explained it and broke it down and went all into the Pope's face and told us that someone should be bold enough to lift up the Pope's dress and see what's under there. He said he was metaphorically speaking. But we got to pick up the mantle, and we got to stop pussyfooting around with the truth and acting like things ain't what they really are. You, black man and black woman, have to understand that you're in a war. That you're in a war for survival, and you're in a battle for the hearts and minds of your people. That as long as you live in racist, decadent America, America as an establishment, no matter if there's a black man in the White House, no matter if you have a Herman Payne coming up, no matter if you have John McCain coming up, that as long as you're in decadent, racist America, America to its core is intent on destroying the black man and black woman and indigenous people. You're not meant to survive. You're not meant, and I'm not meant, and we're not meant to survive in America. Do you think that Troy Davis was an accident, or Oscar Grant is an accident, or Sean Bale is an accident, or our brother Jerome Carter in Mississippi, who was hung from a tree? Do you think that that was an accident? Teresa O'Dell hitting the back of the head with a hammer in Texas, do you think that was an accident? Hell no, it wasn't an accident. You, whether you want to agree with it or not, you are under assault. Your very person, your very lives, your very property, your children, your family, and everything that you hold dear and true is under assault. Your pockets, your economy is under assault. Your security, your safety is under assault. And so as the new Black Panther Party, backed by the Day of Action movement and backed by the United Front for the Liberation of Black People and backed by the Black Power movement, the new Black Panther Party, it's our job to uncuff the handcuffs that's around our minds and in a lot of cases are around our behind. And so we have to go at this subject, that secret relationship between blacks and Jews, but we got to make it personal and say the NBPP, or you can really say the black man and black woman versus the so-called Jews. Minister Malcolm X, Brother Omar Wali, he made this, he asked the question, how do so few rule so many? How do so few rule so many? And this is an intelligent question that shining and poignant Minister Malcolm X asked. How does so few white people rule so many black people? How is it that so many whites in corporate America, in these corporations, you know what I'm talking about Madoff, and I'm talking about Dominique Strauss-Kahn, and I'm talking about these others, even old Steve Jobs, who some of you out there running around boo-hooing about because he made the Apple computer. It make me sick to my stomach to see black nationalists and black Muslims and black Christians and whatnot. You're running around crying and boo-hooing about Steve Jobs, and you're not boo-hooing and crying about a 19-year-old black man that just got gunned down a few days ago. You're not shedding any tears for your people. You're not shedding any tears for the condition that we find ourselves in, but you're crying and boo-hooing for Steve Jobs, who ain't did a damn thing for you. Steve Jobs hasn't provided a job for you. Apple was a closed and is a closed corporation to the black man and black woman, and the few sprinkles of black people that they got in there, they don't want to have nothing the hell to do with you. How is it that so few white people can rule so many? You got to begin to ask yourself, and you got to begin to look at the social and class condition for what it is. You got to begin to realize where you are on the map, that you are here in the hells of North America, and that our people have been deceived not only by the corporations, not only by the bosses on your jobs. We've been deceived by church ministers. We've been deceived by imams in the mosques. We've been deceived by the so-called conscious community. We've been deceived by people standing up and saying that they're our leadership. But when it's time to get on the battlefield and confront the oppressors of our people, they're nowhere to be found. Some of you know what I'm talking about. These churches and these mosques and these synagogues and these temples that are so chicken-hearted and so weak-hearted that you would allow an old wayward brother to sell dope right in front of your church and right in front of your mosque, you punk coward. You would allow prostitution to go on right in front of your church and right in front of your mosque and right in front of your synagogue, right in front of your organization. You would allow it to happen. You won't even say nothing. You won't even invite them into the church. You don't even invite them into the mosque. You don't even invite them into your organization. You just talk bad about them and say, look at them. Isn't that a shame? Something's wrong with them. No, something is wrong with you, black man and black woman, and something is wrong with us if we're not willing to reach out and go into the mud, understanding that we have been put in this condition as a structural ideology. There's a structural ideology. See, that's what makes the Panther program so poignant. That's what makes the new Black Panther Party so poignant, as it made the Black Panther Party of the 1960s poignant. As Huey P. Newton pointed out, we can teach you the system because we understand the system. The new Black Panther Party understands the racist, decadent structure of America. There is a structural ideology of a few leading and guiding the many, that no matter who is in office, whether you have an Obama in office or a Clinton in office or a Bush in office, that they all follow the same structural ideology. And the problem becomes that things will always stay the same, that the wrong people, the incorrect people, the devilish people, as we say, or the satanic people, or the evil people, are always the ones that you see leading and guiding black people. You always see the ones that don't have our best interest at heart out front talking about what's good for black people. You always see the ones who don't really care about the black community, who get in your Benzes and in your nice little rides, and you ride through the black community and you ride on into the white community and get out and smile and beguile and you shake hands and you act like everything is cool. This is by their design. And as far as I'm seeing, black man and black woman, everything is working according to their plan. It is a known fact. It is a known historical fact that most of the writers that write the scripts in movies, they're Jewish writers. That's what I said. Those who write the scripts in Hollywood, they're Jewish. And everything that you see on your screen, things, most of the things that you see on the movies and in your radio and on your television, that has been put there by a Jewish writer. These million-dollar movies, some cases billion-dollar movies, they are financed by wealthy so-called Jews who have determined that they're going to make something popular or not make something popular, that they've determined that they're going to show the black man being destroyed or killed and the black woman being destroyed or killed early in the movie. The black man and black woman barely makes it out of the first scene in these movies because they understand that as you're watching these tell lies visual, as you're watching your television, they understand that everything that you're putting, every single scene that you're putting in your mind, it's going into your subconscious. It's working on your brain. It's working on your thought pattern. It's working on your thought process. It's working on your mentality. So every time you put in a DVD and I put in a Blu-ray, or we put in, if you still got it, a VHS, that the black man and black woman, you won't make it out of the first scene. What are they trying to tell you, black man and black woman? They're trying to tell you, they are telling you, that you are not meant to survive in this world. That as long as you don't have a land of your own, a nation of your own, names of your own, languages of your own, culture of your own folkways, fourways, your own normalcy, your own policy, your own laws, your own economics, that as long as you exist in the decadence of America, you're not going to survive. These are multi-million dollar movies financed by wealthy so-called Jewish tycoons who determine what's going to be popular and what's not going to be popular. The same goes for music. Some of us in the so-called conscious community, we have a problem with music. And we say, what happened to the good old days of music where we could listen to some conscious rap, some conscious talk, some conscious positive lyrics in the music? But you got to understand that even in the music industry, for those of you that's writing rhymes right now as you're listening to this, you got to understand that these labels, Sony, these labels like Geffen, these labels like Interscope, these labels out here, that's what they are, they're labels. These labels out here, majority of them are controlled by Jewish, so-called Jewish owners. And so when you look at the degradation of music, the degrading of music, the degrading of the black woman in the videos, the degrading of the black man in the videos, the disrespect of our elders, the disrespect of our communities, the blatant racist stereotypes that are shown in movies and in the record company and in the music itself, it is because of these so-called Jewish tycoons who determine what's going to be popular and what's not going to be popular. This happens on the big screen. It happens on the small screen. If you don't believe that, if you don't want to believe that, there's a simple way to show you that this is true. There's a simple way to show you that this is true. Next time that you look on your television, the next time you turn on your TV, as you, some of you are looking at TV right now, don't turn off the show once the show is over. Some of you turn away too fast. What you do is you watch the credits. You watch the credits of the writers on your show and you watch the credits of the producers and the executive producers and the directors of your show, whatever it is that your show is. I don't care if it's the reality TV. You know, reality TV is very popular nowadays. I don't care if it's your Basketball Wives show. I don't care if it's your Real World show. I don't care if it's Kicking It with La La or any of these shows that's out here. Don't just turn the show off. Watch the credits. Look at the credits at the end of the show and look at the writers and look at the executive producers and look at the directors of the show, and you will find an overwhelming majority of all of these shows that we so thoroughly enjoy. They are put on the screen by so-called Jewish writers, directors, and producers. You want to know what happened to BET? BET was bought out by Viacom. Black Entertainment Television, bought out by Viacom. Another so-called Jewish takeover. Some of you still, you don't want to believe it. You just want to say that this is just the way that things are. That things are just like that. No, sir, and no, ma'am. You have to wake up from that slumber and wake up from that sleep. It's just not the way things are. There is a systematic plan of destruction that is aimed at you and my babies, you and my family, you and my nation, you and my people. Whenever, now let's flip the script now. And some of us, we just celebrated, you know, the transition of Brother Michael Jackson. Brother Michael Jackson, who transcended in August a couple of years ago. But have you ever noticed that when you say something negative about a so-called Jew, when you say something negative or you make what they consider to be a negative reference or word to the so-called Jewish people, whoever says that word, they are maligned, they're mischaracterized, they're called anti-Semitic, they're called racist, especially when it comes to the television, the movies, and the recording industries. Especially, remember Michael Jackson. As long as Michael Jackson was making safe music, as long as Michael Jackson was hugged up with Lisa Marie Presley, old ugly Lisa Marie mushroom face Presley, as long as he was hugged up with her, they left Mike alone. As long as Mike was making what they call uncontroversial music, they left Mike alone. But once Mike started donating money to black causes, started donating money to Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Million Man March, started donating monies undercover to other black groups and started putting conscious lyrics in his songs. And on top of that, started buying out the masters and the plans of these white groups like the Beatles and some others. They jumped all over Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson had an album, I think it was called Invincible. Had an album that came out that they called The King of Pop. Had an album come out that they didn't even push. Sony Records and those other so-called Jews behind the scenes didn't even promote The King of Pop's album. Wouldn't promote a man who had contributed so much to music and entertainment into the lives of men, women, and children. Why? Because he was dropping some jewels in his music. Before that, Mike had hooked up with Reverend Al Sharpton in the National Action Network. And he, because Al Sharpton is a friend of the family, went over there and told you all, I think it was Tommy Mottola, told us that Tommy Mottola and those behind the scenes at Sony Records, that they were devils. That's what they said. That's what he said, that they were devils. He didn't bite his tongue. He had a picture of Tommy Mottola with horns coming out of the picture, saying he was a devil. This is Michael Jackson. It's the same man who Hollywood taught him to hate himself, and he disfigured his face, but that blackness came up out of Mike. See, it doesn't matter how much you disfigure your face, you cannot destroy that melanin that's inside that black man and black woman. And no matter how much you try to be like them, and some of you experience this on your jobs, And some of you experience this in school, and some of you experience this in your day-to-day life. No matter how much you try to be like them, talking about white people, you cannot be like them as a black man and black woman. No matter how much you try to stick your little pinky finger up in the air, and no matter how much you try to talk with a high swang and say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, all is well, I'm doing good, it doesn't matter that you said that, because they still look at you like a nigger. They still look at you like a slave. They still look at you like a colored boy. They still look at you like a shine and a ham bone and a pickaninny. They still look at you the same way in 2011. Some of you out there are so weak-hearted, you're saying, no, not Susie. Susie doesn't look at me like that. Yes, she does. You press Susie on the issue of reparations for your people. You press Susie on strong issues in relation to the black cause and the black agenda, and watch that old demon and then watch that old beast come up out of Susie. Some of you got nerve to come to me. Some old silly brother came to me the other night and had nerve to say to me, well, what about the white people that are sympathetic? I said to that silly brother, I said, these white people that you say are sympathetic, what are they doing with their sympathy? Show me the white man and the white woman in 2011 that's putting it on the line, risking death and risking imprisonment for the liberation of black people. You don't see no white boys and no white women like that, and you're talking crazy as hell. Go to hell with your sympathy. How can you be sympathetic and not do a damn thing? That's like seeing a child in the middle of the street. But all you got to say is, I'm sympathetic. That's so sad that that child is in the middle of the street, but you don't get your lazy behind up and your sympathetic behind up and go and run and face all kind of dangers to get that child up out of the street. That's what you white folks are with your sympathy to us. We don't care about your sympathy when every single day those who are unsympathetic in your nation, who are a part of your people, are oppressing us on a daily and consistent basis. They call any time that you speak out against the so-called Jewish community, they call you anti-Semitic. They call you racist. Then why is it that these same so-called Jewish executives have no problem backing with all of their multis of millions and backing and distributing music that disrespects the black woman? You have no problems, Jews, so-called Jews, putting out music and putting out movies that depict our men and our women as savage beasts, only concerned with selling their bodies and selling sex, and our women in these videos shaking their behinds with nothing more than a thong, a G-string on in the video, and an old coon and fool like Nelly got nerve, and others got nerve to say, well, she wanted me to do it. You a damn lie. The record company wanted you to do that. The record company wanted you to do that. And so you would run your debit card, your credit card down the crack of the black woman's behind, because that's what these so-called Jews want to see. I challenge Nelly on that. I challenge any rapper out there on that. You're a slave to your record company. You're not a free black man and black woman. You're a slave to your record company. You signed a record recording contract, and they dare you to violate terms of your agreement. They dare you. You want to know those who violate the terms of their contractual agreements? They end up like, rest in peace, Aaliyah in airplanes where the pilot was full of cocaine, and the plane was overweight, a small little plane overweight, and the pilot on cocaine, and they end up on the ground. Huh? They end up like Comrade Tupac Shakur, who was gunned down on the Las Vegas Strip where cameras are everywhere, people are everywhere, and you're in the middle of the desert. But all people can say is, allegedly a white Cadillac drove up and shot Tupac Shakur and shot at Suge Knight, and they drove off and went on about their way. Huh? That's what happens when you break your recording contract. You end up like others. There's other examples I can use, but for the sake of time, I'm just telling you, you can see it for yourself. You, when you break your recording contract, you end up like that. And so when these rappers see that example, they start shaking and quaking in their boots. It's similar to the slave on the plantation, where the white man, the slave master, would put a black man up before the rest of the slaves and beat the hell out of the slave with the cat of nine tails and whip him to flesh and would come off damn near off the bone and blood be spurting everywhere out the slave, all on the women, all on the babies, all on the males, the men that was out there. And that was to instill fear in the rest of the slaves that if you act up, if you get out of line, this is what's going to happen to you. And that's the same thing that has happened to these recording artists, those in the record industry, those in the music industry, in the movie industry, those of you that are actors and on TV, you're slaves. You in the NBA, you are slaves to your contracts. You're slaves to your contracts. How come, and I know some of you are saying, well, yeah, didn't they have a lockout? Didn't they hell no. How come these NBA players are not speaking up on the black agenda? Why is it that a man like Muhammad Ali can come into the boxing world and get the teachings from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he stand on his teaching, but an old punk sissy, I'm not even going to go as hard. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to give him a break. But you know who I'm talking about. He'd get on HBO and disrespect his dad and show all his money. He'd do all this and all that, but he ain't speaking to the black agenda. Others ain't speaking to the black agenda. At least Mike Tyson, even though they kept him doped up and on pills, at least Mike Tyson had enough sense to curse these white folks out. He had enough sense to stand up when something was wrong. He would fight an old Uncle Tom when an Uncle Tom was Tommy. These slaves in the NBA, these slaves in the NFL, these slaves in the baseball leagues, these slaves in the recording industry, in the movie industry, they are bound to a contract. You're bound by these million-dollar contracts that you think will sustain you through the times of revolution. You're bound by these million-dollar contracts that you think will sustain you during the times of famine, that will, you think will sustain you during the times of war. You think they will sustain you during the times of martial law. You think they'll sustain you during the time that is a time called fight time for the liberation and salvation of our people. These contracts won't sustain you. The moment that you get out of line, again, there's other examples in even the NBA and NFL, Mike Vick and so many others. The moment you get out of line any kind of way, they make an example out of you. I'm saying all this to say that there's so-called Jews behind the scenes, Jewish executives behind the scenes parading our black women on display as sexual objects and as black men who are so punctified and sissified, as the black power generals say, homogenized, that you participate in it with your silly sick self. There's men in the black power movement who put our women on display like sexual objects, and you use them as sexual objects. Objects, and you use the worthy cause of black liberation, but in truth, you're the white man's nigger in a dressed up way, as the black power generals say. You're the white man's nigger in a suit and bow tie. You're the white man's nigger in a beret and a BDU Panther uniform. You're the white man's nigger in camouflage and fatigues. You're the white man's nigger in 2011. Displaying our women like sexual objects and got nerve to say you with the black power movement or you with the conscious, so-called conscious community. You're doing the same thing to our people that these Jews are doing to our people. These so-called Jews are doing to our people. They wouldn't do that to their own woman. They wouldn't display their so-called Jewish women as sexual objects. They don't do that. You don't see them doing that. They shun that. They damn near put hands on their women. In many cases, they put hands on these white women when they do that. But you, so silly black man, you would allow these so-called Jewish executives to display your woman on TV like that, and you sitting there in the room with your woman saying, damn, she sure is thick, she sure is fine, she sure is nice, ooh-wee, that sure is nice, oh, that sure is great, and you look silly as hell. You look silly as hell. You should be upset because that could be your daughter. Look at what happened to Lawrence Fishburne. Lawrence Fishburne worked hard all his life to make his way in Hollywood, known as Hollywood. He worked hard playing all kind of roles, all kind of low-budget roles, and all up to high-class million-dollar roles, all in the Matrix and everything, playing all kind of roles just to have his flesh and blood daughter say that she wants to be a porn star. Now, why would a woman like his daughter, a black queen like his daughter, coming up with everything that she could possibly want, why would she, in her right mind, want to be a porn star? It is because of the type of influence that these celebrities be around. So y'all don't know what goes on behind the scenes with these celebrities and these entertainers and these rappers. You don't know what goes on behind the scenes. These rappers and entertainers, they be in sororities. They be in little cliques and little groups. They be pledging like fraternities. They be in secret orders and things. I mean, it's clear. You can see it. You can see it in their signs, their symbols. You can see it in their videos. You can hear it in their music. They're not representative of the black community, but these are the ones who we are allowing to spit lyrics and spit words to our babies' heads, to our people's minds. Y'all know what? I'm not just talking about the Lil Waynes. I'm talking about so many others. But Lil Wayne has become prominent now. Now it's okay because of Lil Wayne to wear your jeans so tight to where you can see your veins in your leg. Now it's okay. Instead of him telling the people to get out of the hood and build and do something for yourself, or if you're in the hood, do something for yourself and get out of the game, get out of that lifestyle and be productive, he's pushing our people further into the fire of gang warfare and tribalism and self-genocide. He got all these young brothers and sisters, many of them, running around with red flags on, and you got the game out here running around talking about he's raising the bloods up and all this and all that, but you're not doing it Panther style. See, when I say I'm after the enemies of our people and that the new Black Panther Party is after the enemies of our people, that's what I mean. I mean in every shape, form, and fashion. All of you toms, you buck dancing toms out there, leading our people into the fire of tribalism and gang warfare and self-genocide. We are after your black behind. All of you who, especially if you're perpetuating that lifestyle and you ain't trying to make Panthers out of them. You ain't trying to make revolutionaries out of them. You ain't trying to tell them to overturn and overthrow the system and fight the system and resist the system, but you're telling them to be slaves. We're after your behinds. I ain't talking about just making no damn CDs. I ain't here to just make no CD and make a damn rap CD and a diss record about Lil Wayne, a baby, a game. That ain't what I'm here for. I'm here to put my foot in their damn ass. That's what it's about. Put your foot in their behinds when you see them. They got security. You got to have security, too. You got to have some, if they're not sensible enough to get behind Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz and roll with Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz with the Day of Action Movement, the United Front for the Liberation of Black People, and roll with this Panther program, put your foot in their behinds in self-defense of the black nation. It happened to James Brown, Imam Jamil Al-Amin, political prisoner now, may he be peaceful, and may you keep him, and may we, the black nation, keep him content as he fights the beast behind enemy lines. Imam Jamil Al-Amin, formerly known as H. Rap Brown, he put that pistol to James Brown's head and told him he better go back in there and cut a positive record for black people. James Brown came out with "Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud." That's history. That's actual fact. So why are we so punctified, or some of you so punctified, that you can't step to these rappers who have the influence of our youth, and they clearly see that our youth are going haywire and killing each other, and you won't put your foot in there behind? I'm telling you straight up, Don't bring me around no rappers. I'm gonna treat them bad if they're doing that. I'm telling you, from hence on out, ain't no shaking no hands, cause they're not kicking anything anyway. Y'all not giving the party no money. You ain't giving the Black Nation no money. Most of y'all are just setting up little shops, little businesses, a community center here and there, and you going on about your business. You a weak, chicken-hearted Negro. Got no sympathy for you, and our Black Nation is being destroyed. But my overall anger is still pointed at these so-called Jews behind the scenes. Back to my point, they wouldn't put their people out there like that. When they display their people, their people come in like Superman. Their people come in like Al Pacino, you know, Scarface. You know what I mean? Their people come in like the Godfather. Their people are always the damn heroes of the movie or the show. And your people, my people, us Black people, we are always the ones that are killed in the show. First and foremost, are killed in the movie. They're sending us a message. Since you know that they wouldn't do that, we can't allow them to do that to us. Only a perverted mind would let what's going on to us happen the way it's happening to us. Only a perverted mind would deal with what we are subjugated to and what we have to face. You can't be comfortable with this and be a revolutionary. How can you be comfortable with this and consider yourself a revolutionary? They should catch hell every single time they cut a damn record. Every single time they cut a damn movie, they should catch hell. Just the other day, some cracker was on BET. I think it was BET calling Black people niggas. Most of you didn't do a damn thing, didn't say a damn thing. Some of you had nerves to defend Don Imus when he called that basketball team nappy-headed hoes. Didn't do a damn thing. Just chicken-hearted. Just weak-hearted. Just a punk and a straight-up sissy. But what I'm giving you is the undeniable truth, as the Black Power General and our national chairman say, the undeniable, irrefutable truth. And if you're not bold enough to challenge it, then you need to look yourself in the eye and grow some heart and grow some strength. You got to look at yourself, and I got to look at myself in the mirror tonight, Black man and Black woman, and clean that up immediately for the Black Nation. Their media coverage, all you got to do is look at the media and the coverage of the media. And look at those who say things that they consider unpopular or say things that they consider out of the status quo. Hell, I mean, I'm just saying, it is what it is. Just look at it. They're playing the same song from the television to the movie to the radio. Everything that has anything to do with your mind, your brain, your heart, your soul, your spirit, your enemy is playing the same message to you. Destroy the Black man and Black woman. The media reports the same news. Radio broadcasts publish the same recycled propaganda because they're controlled by the same individuals who have the same mindset. Yeah, that's what I said. The same individuals who have the same mindset. When you look at the way news used to be, before these so-called Jews took it over, it used to be like a service. You used to could look at it and really be informed. You know, you really could get some information. You really could know what's going on. Most of these networks now, they consider news as something that puts them in the red, as they say. It's not profitable. They don't want to give you the straight news. As one of our comrades in the party say, Sister Soul Love, she's majoring in media. She said on the radio, she said that you're only getting about 95% actual news, period. Actual news, I think it was 95%. Actually, maybe not even that much. I may be giving too much on that. 95% actual news. And so most of these news consider the actual truth to be a bad thing, to be in the loss. And so now you bring it up to the modern day. You bring it up to your CNNs. You bring it up to your MSNBCs. You bring it up to your Fox News. And now all they got is just quick, slick, savvy marketing. news reporters that are no longer news reporters. Now they are news personalities. Now they're news personalities. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. Like you have a radio personality. You got news personalities. And the news is being marketed in the same manner and the same fashion that your movies are being marketed and that your music is being marketed. The news writers, in most cases, they'll take a small piece of the truth and then they'll give it to you in a devoid of context, and they'll present it to the masses as if it's true and actual reporting. Why is it that Fox News spends millions of dollars to run a campaign that says it's fair and balanced? Fox News spends billions of dollars even on campaigns to make you believe that everything that they're saying is fair and balanced, yet their commentators are generals and their commentators are ex-presidents and vice presidents and lawyers and those who are good and tricky with words and slick with figures. Why is that? Why would they have to spend billions of dollars to convince you and me that they're telling the truth? It's because they know that they're lying. But some of you, you're out there taking the bait, hook, line, and sinker. The moment the new Black Panther Party flashed across Fox News, some of you believed that news story as if it came from the Almighty God himself and herself. You believe that. You believe the moment they say the new Black Panther Party is anti-Semitic with its leader, its racist leader, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and they're a bunch of hate mongers, and they're a bunch of this, that, and you believe that because it came from Fox News. But they've given it to you devoid of context, and they present it to you as if it is objective, as if they don't have any agenda in the matter. When the fact about it is, they have an agenda in every single matter that comes over that television station. That's one of the reasons why they shut down the conscious television shows. One of the reasons why the so-called Jews shut down the conscious music. It is because they know that that conscious melanin in you, that melanin and that conscious soul in you was being pricked and awaken, and you were rising to begin to build a nation of your own, and they had to shut you down. So now you are being systematically kept in ignorance in terms of information, and even in your spiritualities, even in your original African customs, even in terms of our original African families, our centered values, our African-centered values, they're keeping you in the dark as to what's going on. The people, especially here in America, we've been lied to so thoroughly and so completely, and without them even blinking an eye, that when somebody like Ashan Kwali come along, or Malik Zulu Shabazz come along, or any of our freedom fighters out here come along, that you don't believe what we're saying. You don't just take hold of what we're saying. You got to, many of you, even in the Black Power movement, you got to have a cracker, a white man, tell you that what Sean Kwali is saying is the truth. But you say, yeah, that's exactly right. Go ahead, Brother Sean, that's the truth. I'm going to do something, because you were still a slave in 2011. How is it that the architects of your and my destruction have to rubber stamp what the child of the slaves is saying to you before you wake up and decide to do something for yourself? We've been lied to so thoroughly and so completely that when you see the truth looks strange, as Pac say. When you see the truth looks strange. He said in a lyric that everyone's afraid of the youth because the truth looks strange. And that's what it is. We've been so thoroughly lied to that the ones who you're supposed to be attacking, you're not attacking, you're not defending yourself against, and the ones who you're supposed to be unifying with, you're attacking. You're supposed to be unifying with the new Black Panther Party. You're supposed to be locked in stone with us. Every time the new Black Panther Party make a step, you're supposed to make a step. Every time you make a step, I'm supposed to make a step. That's how it's supposed to be, because we're supposed to be trying to get free. We're supposed to be trying to break the shackles that are on our minds and break the shackles that, in many cases, on our behinds. I'm just saying. Look, I mean, it's from every caliber and every corner of the earth. I mean, you had recently in California, the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, for a while, he was the governor. And he done got caught up in an old domestic affair. He was knocking off his wife, I mean, his maid, knocking off his maid or what have you. And now all of a sudden he ain't the governor no more. But how in the hell are you going to have the Terminator, a dude who was a bodybuilder, the man can't talk, he can't speak, none of that type of deal. And I'm just saying, and he becomes the governor of California? It is because there's a script and a plan behind the scenes. Scripts and plans behind the scenes. And it's just interesting to me for a number of reasons. Because, at best, he's a marginal actor. I'm just saying, at best, he's a marginal actor. I mean, it already came out, dude was using steroids. It came out on him, he was using steroids, performance enhancement drugs. I mean, I do my research. The Schwarzenegger is a sham, straight up and down. Schwarzenegger is a sham, but he becomes governor. And then under his governancy, up comes the case of Stanley Tookie Williams. And this is important for a number of reasons. Stanley Tookie Williams began to read the book Blood in My Eye by General George Jackson, National Field Marshal of the Black Panther Party of the 1960s. He began to read Blood in My Eye, and Blood in My Eye made him want to turn around the destructive activity of the Crip organization, the Crip Street Tribe, or what you call gangs. He wanted to be set free so that he, being the founder or one of the founders of the organization, that he could go to these brothers and sisters and tell them to stop banging on the black community and begin to bang on these Peckerwoods and bang on your enemy in these times. That's what he was going to tell them. And that's what he was telling them behind the bars. Then, underneath Schwarzenegger, when it was clear that Tookie Williams, and when I say bang, I mean that for the ADL and others listening, when I say bang, I'm simply saying to bang, to ride, to organize, to mobilize, to move on the ills of the black community. And under Schwarzenegger, when it came up and it was clear that Schwarzenegger had, when it was clear that Stanley Tookie Williams had reformed, in their words, or that he was ready to get out and do something positive, do you think they let Stanley Tookie Williams get out on the streets? As much as they call these penile institutions reformatories. When it was clear he was ready and he was the man with the most influence over the Crip organization and even in some cases some Bloods or Pyrus, when it was clear that he was ready to get out and make that kind of move for the streets and organize the streets around Panther principles and make them protect the community and protect the elders, protect the children, protect the women, clean up themselves, stand up ourselves, build for the community, own businesses in the community, have your own economic base in the community without robbing and destroying the black community. When that kind of message was coming out of Stanley Tookie Williams, they put that man to death. See, we were hurt over Troy Davis, and I'm still hurt over Troy Davis, but I was equally as hurt over Stanley Tookie Williams, because Stanley Tookie Williams had the influence to turn this whole gang thing around. Now that Stanley Tookie Williams has been assassinated, and that's exactly what it is. Y'all stop saying lethal injection, that he was killed by lethal injection. No, Stanley Tookie Williams was not killed by lethal injection. Stanley Tookie Williams was assassinated. It's an assassination. You got to begin to change your terms, begin to change your thought process, begin to change your characterizations. You are a kidnapped people. We're a kidnapped people here in the hells of North America. And when our people are incarcerated, I'm not talking right or wrong. I'm talking about the establishment itself. When our people are incarcerated by a criminal justice system, where the white man and the colonizers of this land have broken every single law on the book to establish their land, and they were never incarcerated here or nor brought to any kind of real justice, and you incarcerate our people without a jury of our peers, without a jury of our family, without a jury of our loved one, without a jury of our community, and you lock us down for 30, for 20, and 30, and 50 years with no chance of reform or repair, with no chance, as you call it parole, but we're not talking parole, I'm talking repair, to where our people can get out who want to get out, and they want to reform the damage. You don't have no heart for that. So, of course, they destroyed and assassinated Stanley Tookie Williams. My point in saying all of this is that there's a plan and a plot behind the scenes. A plan and a plot behind the scenes. The economic health of the United States is at an all-time crisis. An all-time crisis. Unemployment is at its highest level in decades. And these so-called Jews are behind the scenes economically secure, I should say, economically secure from everything that happens to you and I. While you and I are trying to survive and we're trying to make it and we're trying to do our best to get ahead through the pits and the snares of North America, these bankers, these corporations, these figureheads, they have million-dollar bonuses. Some of you are happy if you get 50 cents extra on your paycheck. Some of you happy if you get a dollar extra on your paycheck, or you're able to cash out a little bit, and you might be living on a retirement or what have you. Not knocking you. I'm saying that these so-called Jews behind the scenes, when Obama calls them in, they're coming in on private Lear jets. You want to know why we banged on Dominique Strauss-Kahn so hard in New York? We banged on Dominique Strauss-Kahn because Dominique Strauss-Kahn is a bloodsucker of the poor. He's a bloodsucker of black people. He's a bloodsucker of the indigenous people, and he has robbed and stole his way over the indigenous people to get in the position that he's in. And he used a African woman, a sister from the islands. He used her. He used her knowing that she was poor and knowing that her credentials were not all the way together and she was trying to make her way here to do something for her people back home. He used her, and she was put in a position, and in some cases put herself in a position to be used, to where Dominique Strauss-Kahn used her, slandered her in the media, and then he walks off scot-free, and some of you so-called black power Negroes ain't said a damn thing. You ain't said nothing about Dominique Strauss-Kahn abusing and misusing a black woman and slandering her and berating her as a way to get off of his obvious crime, his documented crime, but you won't say a damn thing. There's a plan behind the scenes. This economic condition, it is not by accident. The condition of the stock markets and all that, it's not by accident. Politically speaking, the different branches of government, including the staff and all those involved, all those that are in numerous scandals, it is not by accident. These are criminals. These leaders, these multi-corporation billion-dollar leaders, they're criminals. These so-called Jewish leaders oftentimes are criminals, but you will allow them to criminalize your people so much to the point to where now it has become fashionable that, it's okay now for our young youth to be criminalized on the media and in every single form of communication. Our people are criminalized as if we're born to be the ones in jail, as if we're born to be the ones incarcerated when they have raped and stolen, pillaged and done everything under the sun. We're being criminalized, but our people are not saying anything. And so we have to stand up. We will speak out on this, and we will organize on this. And you know the United States government is lying to the people. You know they're lying to the people. A government that lies to its people, that's not a government. They're lying to you. And they continue to undermine your effectiveness. You are so caught up as black men and women. And I'm going to close here shortly for your questions. I want to take your questions if you have any. But we are so reliant on this government as a people that it undermines your effectiveness to build for yourself. Some of you who unfortunately have been laid off of the white man's jobs, you get home and you know you got to eat, you know you got to survive, you know you got to make it, and you've been putting in application after application after application, and you're getting no results. Nobody's calling you back, and the first thing that pops up in your mind is, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What can I do? And I love you, black man and black woman. If you're feeling like that, I love you as your brother and comrade. But don't think like a slave. Don't think like a slave in 2011, where some of our people, when Abraham Lincoln emancipated our people, not freed our people, emancipated our people for the sake of the Union, to establish the Union, when that happened, some of our people had been enslaved so long that once they were emancipated and had some level of mobility around this country, they turned around and looked at each other and said, well, what do we do now? What the hell do we do now? We've been slaves so long in America that now that the new Black Panther Party is calling on you to do for yourself. Do for yourself. Buy black. Build black. Build for your black family. Build for your black destiny. Build for your black future. You turn around and look at us and say, what do I do? What can I do, Brother Sean? You got to use your beautiful black brains the same way other nationalities are using their brains for their nation and for their interests. You don't see the Japanese man worried about shopping in the black community. You don't see the Chinese man and woman worried about building and shopping so much in the black community. They'll build to sell you something in the black community, but they're not worried about supporting your economy. You don't see those others who are in the Latino community or in the so-called Mexican community. You don't see them worrying about shopping with you. Every nation and every nationality is building for itself, but the black man and black woman. All throughout the hills of North America. I see it too much. Every city I travel in, everywhere I go, I see the Arabs, the desert Arab, running the town. I see the Chinese man running the town. I see the Japanese and the Indians running the town. And I see the Caucasian man running and woman running a whole lot of it. I don't see enough of us that have the will to take over. We got to talk some revolution. We got to talk some revolution. We have to talk about taking over economically. Revolution, as Minister Malcolm taught, and as it is true, revolution knows no compromise. You got to have no compromise in dealing with this enemy and in dealing with the forces that affect our people. I'm going to wrap this up. I can't even get to all that I wanted to say, but hopefully I can stretch this out and get more to you. It's so deep. It's so deep. But suffice that to say that you got to look at the hidden hand behind the door. Look at the hidden hand behind the door. I always say to my people, in closing, I say to my people, because, you know, some of you are so quick to say to me, well, Brother Sean, I don't see the white man doing this. I don't see the white woman doing that. I see the black man and black woman doing this and that. You know, and of course you see the black man and black woman going haywire. Of course you see that. Of course when you have an economically deprived man or woman, of course they're going to go into survival mode and do whatever it takes to try to survive. Or they are people who have been robbed of their culture and their spirituality. Of course they're going to become dead inside and desperate inside. And, you know, they're going to become closed up. But you, as a live black man and black woman, you have to be wise enough to ask yourself the question, who put us in this condition? Were we natural homosexuals when we were in Africa, or were we put in that condition? Were we naturally economically deprived in Africa, or were we put in this condition? Were we naturally depressed and on all kind of pills and medicines and our health in a bad condition? Or were we placed in this condition? Were we naturally a broken family where the man disrespects the woman and the woman disrespects the man and the husband disrespects the wife disrespects the husband and the child disrespects the family? Were we this way in our mother country? Or were we placed in that condition? You know we were placed in the condition. Because before we came here to the shores of North America, before we were forced here, before we were forced here, our people had gold, our people had rubies, our people sat on oil, our people had mineral wealth, our people had establishments, castles, ruins. We had establishments that were well beyond the comprehension of the Greek, the Roman, any of them, the Portuguese, any of them that you can name. We were there. We already done it as a people. When they looked at us and saw it, they knew that that's the kind of lifestyle that they wanted to live. And so they took from that people, our people, that quality of man and woman, and brought them here and brought us here to the hills of North America to build the same kind of empire that they saw with us in Nubia and Kush. They saw with our libraries in Timbuktu. They wanted it for themselves. At first, they tried to steal it from you and I. They ransacked our people's libraries and our temples and our homes, ransacked it. And our people over time fought their devil behinds, murdered and killed. It's not a murder, it's a self-defense kill of their devil behinds when they came in and tried to take over the land and take over the houses. That's what happened. And so that's how you and I got here, because the British colonizers, the European colonizers, the white man and the white woman wanted a nation of their own, and they did not have the knowledge and the technology to build it for themselves. And so that's how your great-great-grandmother and your great-grandmother was in them cotton fields and in them tobacco fields and in them sugarcane fields. It wasn't for no other reason other than that they wanted to build a nation for themselves, talking about white folks. They didn't know how to bury their dead. They didn't know how to take care of their children. They didn't know how to have a family unit. They came from the caves and hillsides of Europe, where, as you see in the movie, like Quest for Fire, as you see it displayed in the cartoons like the Flintstones, they were hitting their woman over the head with big logs and sticks and knocking her unconscious and dragging her by the hair back to the cave to have sex with and impregnate her to make her a white baby. That was their idea of courtship. That was their idea of marriage. They were drinking water out of the skulls of dead other white folks. They were drinking water and they were building things with the skulls and the bones of white folks, and that's how you get some of them secret society, them orders out there. I know I'm pissing some of you off out there, but that's how you get it. My people have to know what's going on. And so suffice that to say, you are not here because you're an American citizen. You're not here on this side of this planet because you're so loved by this establishment and you're so loved by this ruling power structure. You're here. You were here. You're brought here for free labor. The reason why you're on your job now with the white man is simply for labor. They never intend you for you to aspire or for me to aspire above them. I don't care if you run the corporation. There's always somebody over you that's white. Let me go to the phone lines. The number is 646-478-4447. I want to take your questions or your comment. We're talking about the NVPP versus the so-called Jew. We're breaking down the secret relationship between the black and the Jew. I'll go to the first caller here at area code 704-964. Your mic is open. You're on live with me and Brother Sean Kwali, Black Power.
Black Power, brother. This is Sister Solas in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey.
I've been listening to you, and I've been spreading the word. I got another brother that's on the line listening right now. He wants to get involved as soon as possible with the movement. His name is Terrence Roman Sconcer. I'm not saying his name right. But you made a quote on the media and what the percentage that they gave out. They only give 25% of the truth.
I'm glad you called. I thought I had that backwards. I gave him too much credit.
Yeah, you did. They only give 25% of the truth, and so that's why I'm doing what I need to be doing on my behalf, because I can't convert and I can't water down who I am to be a part of that system. And I see there's such a great need in media. Especially around the world, what's going on with the movement as far as Occupy Wall Street and all that kind of thing. So I started Freedom Voices, and I'm starting to do exactly what you guys are saying to do, start within ourselves and build our own infrastructures and our own businesses and our own media. So that's what I'm doing on my behalf. But Brother Terrence is on the line right now. I don't know where his number is coming from, but he wants to get some information on how he can get involved and get some other brothers involved where he lives, as far as the New Black Panther Party is concerned.
What city is he in?
I believe Brother Terrence is in Chicago, or he lives in New Jersey, but he's from Chicago.
Okay. What?
So
he's
on there. So.
There's so many numbers that are going through our switchboard.
I know, brother. But one more thing I want to put out. There was this. I had a radio show earlier today. But the 19-year-old boy that got killed in Atlanta a couple of days ago. They're having a national day of protest to stop police brutality in Atlanta, October 22nd. I'll be down there, and I'm also going tomorrow to help a mother where they found a dead body on the school grounds at her son's school, and the police was beating up children in the school. So we definitely have to organize and get involved, and we definitely want the New Black Panther.
Wait a minute. You said the police were beating up children in schools?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just spoke with the mother.
Where is this at?
This is actually in Monroe, North Carolina, and the 19-year-old boy who got killed by the martyr police is in Atlanta. He got killed two or three days ago.
Wait a minute. Sister Soul Love, you're going too fast. You got to slow down. These are two important issues among all the other important issues that we have to address and deal with. I'm serious. We got to address and deal with what's happening. Number one. Can you run down to it the situation of the 19-year-old boy? A lot of people I have found they don't know about this situation. If you have the information handy, can you run down what happened with the 19-year-old young brother, and then run down what happened with the beating of the police beating our youth in schools?
In Atlanta, about 10:30 p.m., I believe 3 or 4 days ago, the MARTA police, Atlanta Public Transportation Pigs, is what they call it on the FTM movement page, shot and killed a 19-year-old, Joe Tavis Stafford, in the back as he ran with his hands in the air. Nearly 24 hours later, the police are still withholding details about why and how this murder happened. There are no people in this country more greatly affected by police brutality than Black men. So they're building a national day of protest to stop police brutality, October 22nd.
Sit the solar. Wow, that was strange. Her line was on, but we lost the solar. She was dropping the science. Sis, if you can hear my voice, then what you do is you just call back in. You call back in and press number one. All you do is pray. For those of you that have something to say, yeah, you call in 646-478-4447. It brings you up live. You just press number one, and it puts you into the switchboard queue. And I want to get Sister Sola back on. What she's breaking down to us, family, is that there was a 19-year-old boy. Yeah, not boy, but young man. I wonder if I'm still on the air. They're telling me that the show, am I still on the air? Somebody let me know if you can hear me. maybe in the chat room. I'm going to still keep rolling and saying that I'm on. But there was a 19-year-old young man who was killed, and she's breaking down what's going on with that, and there was some black youth who were beat up by the pigs in the school system. I think we got her back on. Let me see if this is Sister Solar. Did we lose you, sis? Sister Solar. All right. Well, all right. Well, I'm still on, so I'm gonna keep it moving. And sis, gonna have to call back in. Let me try to bring her back on. Let me just try to get her back on. At any rate. We're dealing with a crisis. All of what I've been sharing with you for the past hour and a half is we are dealing with a crisis. We're in a state of emergency. Now, I'm not trying to frighten you all. It's not a thing about trying to frighten you because this is the actual fact. This is what it is. But we're dealing with a state of emergency. It's a state of emergency. Anytime your babies, you can't send your babies to school. Because your babies are being beat over the head by the local police department. What alternative do you have other than to resist? If your babies, who you're supposed to be able to send your children, your teenagers, and your small, your loved ones to school to learn something, allegedly, to learn something, but then when you send them, they're going and getting their heads busted in. What alternative do you have other than to fight? Let me try to bring her back on. Area code 757-208. Your mic is open. You're on with Sean Quali, Black Power Radio, Black Power.
Black Power. Peace, brother.
Peace. Who are we talking
to? Okay. I'm sorry. This is not so low. This is Sister Sylvia. But
Peace. What's going on, Queen?
I was just calling to let you know you were still on air, and I still hear you.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the black family chimed in and let me know, but I appreciate it. Sometimes it's strange how when you get to rolling on these shows that your mic cuts off, your line is cut off. It's not really strange. We know what it is. I know who controls these radio lines. You know what I'm saying? These same so-called Jews are the same ones that control these lines. Blog talk and all that. That's why let me tell you all this, that we are proposing, and this is good for you too, Sister Sylvia, to know. We are proposing that black people produce our own Facebooks, our own blog talk radios, and our own social networks. It's already in the works now. I'm not even gonna let the cat out of the bag. I ain't gonna tell you who's doing what because I know the enemy's listening. But just know, y'all put that feather under your cap that the black nation is in works right now, somewhere in the hills of North America, ready to produce its own Facebook. Not by name, that's copyright. I'm saying it's going to be a black book, whatever we're going to call it. Liberation book, something, you know what I mean? But that same format for black people, our own blogtalkradio.com format. Maybe it'll be a blacktalkradio.com, whatever it's going to be. But we got to, at the end of the day, we got to get off these lines. We got to become independent in a real way. The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey had thousands behind him doing all kind of things in the early days, steam line ships and everything. And so with all this that we have in the so-called modern technological age, there's no excuse, Sister Sylvia. We can do for ourselves, sis.
Right. That's why I say we have to separate to recuperate.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We definitely need to get it together. But it was funny because, you know, I was laying on the couch, me and my son listening, and, you know, we're talking, because I had talked to Sister Soul Love earlier today, and it was just like, it just seemed like everything had cut off, and we looking at each other like, what happened? So
when
Soul Love was speaking. So everything, it had went blank. Actually, I had lost you for about a good 30, 45 seconds.
Who's that?
No, I had lost the show when Soul Love was on. And, while she was talking, she cut out, and you did as well for about 45 seconds. Right.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. We think we run... We think we run these switchboards and all that. We ain't running no switchboards. We ain't running no switchboard. We just pushing some buttons. We doing our best to push the button. But it's all right, because the thing is, what I'm saying is, we have to endure this while we have to endure this. But we're going for independence. Soon, when we have our own, we don't have to worry about that. We dead damn so-called Jew or some of these devils or whoever, bootlicking Tom to try to cut you off or cut me off or cut the soul of off. We going to cut your damn finger off for touching these buttons in self-defense.
Right.
All right, and so that's what it is. But thanks for telling me I'm black on, sis, and stay tuned. And normally you on the show on Wednesday nights, ain't you?
Right, yeah.
Well, damn, you should have been called in.
Yeah, I've been here since the beginning. I'm just like, listening to you. Look, me and my son, we like high five. Like, yeah, they that should have been. So we enjoyed it.
It's beautiful. Sis, I appreciate you for listening. I appreciate your support. I know that you're doing some good things with the Rose with Thorns movement for black women.
Right.
And we want to definitely get you all on again to really explain that movement. That movement, Roses with Thorns, the Rose with Thorns movement is a movement for black women to heal. It's a self-healing group, black women for black women, nothing funny, everything righteous. Healing each other and dealing with black issues for black women. Yeah,
right.
Brother, stop trying to tell. Go ahead, sis.
I'm sorry. That's what we have to do to rebuild our nation. We have to start with the sisters first, you know, because we give birth to our nation. So, and there's a lot of us out here hurting, and, you know, we're lost. Some of us alone don't know what to do, don't know what to say, don't know who to talk to. So we just got to kind of lean on each other and build each other up so we can continue to support our black men. Because, see, a lot of issue in our nation is we're not supporting our men enough because, again, you know, go back to that post-traumatic slave syndrome, it's kind of that level of respect that's not there, and that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to rebuild it for ourselves so we can offer it you all, you know, so we can be powerful and unbreakable.
That's right, and that's the kind of guidance that the black man needs, and the black man got to qualify himself. We got to qualify ourselves, black man, to be worthy to have a black goddess like what she's talking about. And so, sis, we appreciate it. I'm going to get the rest, a couple of these other calls in here. We're going to wrap up, but thank you, sister, for your words.
All right, peace. Black power.
Peace. Black power. I was saying, before I forget, to my brother Terrence, who's listening, and you want to join the movement, just email me, brother. Email me at NBPP. That's like the initials of New Black Panther Party. NBPPHQ, like headquarters, at yahoo.com. Just email me, brother, Sean Qualley, or reach out to me on Facebook, Sean Qualley on Facebook, and I'll help you get in this movement tonight, right away, brother, right away, right where you are in Chicago. In fact, I'll come to Chicago and build with you, man, and put on something with you and organize with you. I come to any of these cities out there that want you to build this movement. You want to build this Panther movement and resurrect the Panther in the hills of North America after a cross-dressing, flaming faggot J. Edgar Hoover just tried to destroy this movement with COINTELPRO, when all them brothers and sisters was doing was feeding poor black children breakfast and putting clothes on the children's backs and defending our elders and defending us from police brutality. If you want to resurrect and rebuild the movement like I am and like Dr. Malik Ibn Shabazz is and like the New Black Panther Party is, then you just email us, same email address, nbpphq@yahoo.com, or catch me on Facebook if you got a Facebook page. And we'll do that right away. Let me pull the rest of the callers in here because I don't see the Soul Love back. Maybe her phone battery died. But we're going to get her black on the air to talk about what happened with this 19-year-old boy that was killed and these youth who were beat in the public killing fields, also known as the school system. 502-365, you're on the air. I'm Sean Qualley. This is Black Power Radio. We're talking about the NBPP against the so-called Jews. Talk to us.
Black Power, brother. How you doing?
Black Power. I'm fine. How are you, sir?
This is Brother Hakeem.
Hey, what's going on, comrade?
Yes, sir. I wanted to say a couple of things about what was going on in Louisville, that three black babies have been beat to death and fighting for their life here in Louisville. It's been going on for the last week. One baby was killed by his father, where the father beat him. Then there was another 14, I think it might have been a six-month-old baby that was killed. And, you know, we are trying to organize some things that, you know, what this type of, you know, thing would not happen to our black children, because we have to save our children.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's important. And I want to say this to the organizers, that it's not enough to get mad, you know, when there's a white on black situation. Of course we're supposed to get mad about that. You suppose it's historical. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a natural anger about that. But you have to be as equally vigilant and as equally upset and pissed off and willing to organize when it's a black on black issue. That is one of my critiques with some of us in the so-called conscious community. We don't organize around enough black on black issues. Notwithstanding knowing the hidden hand, knowing the agenda and all of that, you still got to check the community. We got to have community control. The reason why the Panthers organized police patrols was to initiate an objective of community control. Community and Panther control. When we say Panther, we mean the people. The people controlling the community. So the black community, we're going to have to begin to stand up against every scourge in our community, every bloodsucker in our community, those that beat the women, our women down. The women, our sisters, are going to have to begin to stop putting themselves in positions in certain terms, but in no uncertain terms, there's no room for the disrespect of our women and putting your hands on these sisters, and that's especially in the new Black Panther part. Let me say that off top in these last few minutes. If there's any reports that gets on Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz's desk or my desk of you brothers out there beating Panther's sisters, we are coming to see you personally.
That's right.
Personally. I'm telling you on the air, we're coming to see you personally. Ain't going to be no emails, ain't no conference calls, ain't no trade in Texas. We're coming to your door to see you and to see why you would put your hands on a Panther queen, or really a black woman, a queen in general. In general. And so, yes, sir, we have to be vigilant. We have to be vigilant in terms of dealing with black-on-black crime. And so that's serious, Brother Hakeem, and we must organize on that issue, sir.
And then I have another question. It's a brother that I have been speaking to in Boystown, Kentucky, that his father, I think you remember, of James Taylor, who was killed by the pigs with his hands behind his back. And I read the statement of the police, and they said that it was a way that he went inside his pocket and pulled out of a knife, but that's a lie. You know, when you have handcuffs that the police put on, you cannot reach your hands to the side of your pockets. And the young brother, the brother that is the father of the son of his father who was killed, is hurt. And the guilty police, who was guilty of killing this man in his house, they didn't lock the police up. They didn't give them nothing for their suffering and pain. And the brother is still fighting to get justice for his father. So I just wanted to put that out. So we also working with him for he can get justice, and we're trying to put the police who killed James Taylor in jail.
I'm well familiar with that case. Louisville was on fire during that period where the regular brother and sister, the average brother and sister, took to the streets, ran down to the police station, and was ready to tear some stuff up. In fact, I think they broke a couple of glasses out of the police station and everything. But then there was this old Tom. It was this old Tom they used to silence the crowd, and one who they considered a community leader, and they pulled out their little trump card, their little black ace in the hole, put him out there in front of the people and calmed everybody down. And I'm telling you this, we're not gonna have the same stance that some of our Panther comrades took in the 60s. When you know, and I understand about, you know, why tear up the black neighborhoods and all that, but damn, you don't have a thing. You don't have nothing anywhere. I would rather I would rather us tear down every single blood-sucking, oppressive, capitalistic white neighborhood you could find. Every one of them, if you got to do that. But I mean, if it just pops off and this stuff just boils over, this ain't your damn country. It ain't my damn country anyway. It's not ours. We are captives here, obviously. We're not treated citizens at all. And so go buck wild when it's your time to go buck wild. We're not going to stand in your way. We want what the people want, and we want what is right and what's righteous. And so, yeah, brother, that was a sad case. Brother James Taylor, may he rest in freedom. He was killed while handcuffed by the LMPD, the Louisville Metro Police Department. He was killed while handcuffed behind his back, and they say he reached for a box cutter.
No, there's no
box
way.
Cutter, and they come through with sometimes two guns, three guns, sometimes four guns, tasers with lasers, and every other thing they can legally bring, they bring it. And they say this man put out a box cutter.
And they said that when he was in a room, and the room was not that big, and they said that he took the box cutter, and he was backing up towards the officer. But there's no way. Now, when the pigs put handcuffs on you, they search you, they check you, and make sure you have no weapons. You know, so when they put the handcuffs on, that was just, they said they have called at his house many different times, they have came. So the pigs plotted to take this man out, and that was just the time that they was going to do it. And then once they killed the brother, then they want to pull up his history, and then they want to say that, you know, that this man was this. It don't matter what this man was. We are not a wild gang. We are not deers. We are not birds. You cannot go in our community and shoot us down as we are not human, or we are not, you know, are we? You can just disrespect us the way we are. And that's the reason why today that the Black Panther Party is in Louisville, because we are tired of being brutalized. We are tired of being treated with the justice system dogging us. We're tired of all of it, and it's time for some type of change. And, change somehow.
That's what's up. That's what's up. We intend to be the change that we want to see. I don't even want to get off into a rhetoric thing. I'm not saying you're doing that, but I'm just saying we want to be the change that we want to see. That's word to the wise. Anybody listening, the change that you want to see starts with you. It starts with me. Whatever kind of change you want to be, Brother Hakeem. Let me get to the other caller here. Brother caller's here because I know I think we got off of the air, but we're still recording after show on the lines. So I got to push this thing along. But thank you, Brother Hakeem, and keep building.
Oh
Black,
yes,
man.
Sir. All right, Black Power, brother.
Black power to you, sir. Another 502 area code, 502-303. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. I'm Sean Kwali. We're talking about the NBPP versus the so-called Jew. Talk to us.
Hey, what's up, man? This is your brother, Meshawn Daniels. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, brother Meshawn? How are you, sir? I'm good.
Hey, I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. I just wanted to call in and listening to your show and encourage. Well, I don't know what to say. I like your energy. I like your energy. I like your intention and everything. I'm concerned, but I'm not gonna go into it all. At least you're trying to do something. So eventually, I'd like to see us one day sit down and we have this conversation. Matter of fact, the reason why I'm calling you is I'd like to invite you to my show. And have you call in, and we're going to talk about this new Black Panther on the show called The Focus Show. But I'd like to invite you over and let you bring your energy and bring your thoughts and your ideology and everything to The Focus Show. And I'd like to engage you in some man-to-man conversation about your ideology, about the things that you're doing with the new Black Panther. Would you take on that conversation?
Let's do it. You set it up. You set it up, and let me know. I'm there. I would engage you in any discussion you'd like to
get
have.
Ready. I'm talking about in the month of November. And I'd like for you to get all your listeners and everybody, we're going to set it up in the month of November before we go into 2012, is that I'd like to have you come on the Focus Show. And we're going to talk about, you know, I'm going to give you 2 hours. And we're going to have some,
right,
have some ideology conversation about, you know, the intention, the purpose, and the new Black Panther, and, you know, what we need in the 21st century. And, you know, we're just going to chop it up and see, you know, see how it all, you know, flow out. Be down?
Well, give the listeners the name of your show, the time it comes on, because they may want to, you know, of course, I want all of
them. Well, yeah, matter of fact, I don't mind doing it. My show here is here in Louisville as well. I heard the brother talking about Louisville. Yes, Louisville. The new shows is going on. I'm excited about hearing the men and the males and everything trying to do something. But my show is called The Focus Show on Blog Talk Radio. The Focus Show. It's a man's show. It's not a Black man's show. It's a man's show. Because what I found out is a male becoming a man. And on our show, we talk about the importance of all men learning how to become focused. And a better man is a man that knows how to be a man. Be a man in all areas and all seasons. Be a man in the presence of all men and get your respect as a man, not a Black man, but as a man, because we are created in God's image to be a man, not a hyphenated man, but a man. And so the Focus Show is we talk about what it is to be a man. So I want to, you know, I want to have that conversation. So my show, I encourage all males, all men, because learning how to be a man on this country is learning how to have a conversation among all men that makes up the creation of God being created as all males. So that's the Focus
okay.
Show. Every Wednesday from 10 to 12. Every Wednesday from 10 to 12 on the Focus Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. I gladly accept. I will gladly come as a man and as a Black man. And we're going to even bring some Black women with me. I don't want to go nowhere where that Black woman can't go. I know what you mean. I know you're not saying that, but I'm just saying.
Oh, no. But, you know, but one of the biggest things is that, you know, as we learned a few shows back on our Focus Show, is that one of the major things that has hurt us culturally as men is that so often many of our women have spoken and filled the gap for us, and many of us have allowed that to happen. And many of us don't know how to go reclaim that. And so my angle is showing our women is that we know how to be a man and handle our business. And to do that, we got to learn how to be a man among other men. We got to not continue going around talking about how another hyphenated man keep us from accomplishing our abilities and things to do and handle our business. We got to learn how to stand up and be men and handle our business. So, of course, I want our women to be proud of us, but not a hyphenated man, but as a man. Go handle our business. So, yeah, man, I look forward to you being on the Focus Show. We can have that conversation. But I love you, man. You know I do. So I look forward to
it. Love you, too.
And make it happen.
I
will be following you, and I will be encouraging you. In November, we will make this happen, okay?
I appreciate it, Brother Meeshawn. I shot you a text, I think a text or even something.
Yes, you did. You didn't respond back to my text. You heard what I said, right?
I don't think I got it. I didn't get your text. I'm serious in organizing with you. I want to organize with you especially, but not solely, especially for the black man and woman in Louisville. I definitely want to organize with you. But what were you going to say?
Yeah, you said something about the only thing I text you back, and I said, man, we don't have to. You said something about getting in touch with me in the future. I said, bro, we don't have to wait to the future because my days are numbered. And I'll be clear, you know, my days is numbered. You know, God is getting ready to bring me home, and I'm all right with that. I said, so we don't have to wait so long towards the future. Let's make it happen as soon as possible, Sean. You hear me?
All right. You got my word on that.
All right.
You got my word on that.
So I look forward to it, and we get together, man.
Okay.
I'm proud of you, though. You know I'm proud of you. You know that, don't
you? Yes, sir. I'm out here representing Black man. And his brothers like
you representing.
They give me that strength.
Yeah, I love you, man. You keep up the good work. We be rapping, man. Keep up the good work. I'll be talking to you, bro.
Love you too, Black man. Peace and Black power to you.
All right, back at you.
All right, and so dear family, it is that time. It's time for us to come together as a people. This is a clear understanding of what I'm talking about. That regardless, as the Black Power generals say, regardless to land, label, or language, we got to be one people. And so, in conclusion, because you all have been riding with me, and I'm riding with you. Trust me, I'm riding with you. And let me say in the finale that as many of my brothers and sisters that I can support. If you got a radio show, television show, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'll make time in my schedule to do it. I will make time in my schedule to do it. But I absolutely will not give up one inch, as the National Field Marshal say, an iota of an inch to any of these enemies at all. I will handle you. I will, as me Sean say, manhandle you. I will manhandle you every show. I'm aiming for Sean Hannity. I'm aiming for Geraldo Rivera. I'm aiming for Rush Limbaugh. I'm aiming for Michelle Malkin. I'm aiming for all of those who last year was trying to beat up on our national chairman when y'all had him, and they had him, the United States Justice Department had him virtually handcuffed through legalities, and he couldn't get at you the way that he needed to get at you. I'm telling you right now on the air, I'm coming at you. I'm going to flush you out. We just whipped the hell out of Larry O'Connor. If you have not heard that interview, you go to my Facebook page, Sean Kwali on Facebook. It's up there posted. Larry O'Connor, it's on Blog Talk, the Stage Right Show. He's a blogger, and I say a spokesman for Andrew Breitbart, a man who is drug. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz and the new Black Panther Party's name through the mud, trying to hurt the reelection chances of President Barack Obama, trying to just slander our good works and our good deeds, and I whipped his ass live on his own show. Whipped Andrew Breitbart live on his own show. And now the stage has been set for as they want to call it, a discussion, but really ain't no discussion. It's another manhandling event, another no contest knockout for our national chairman. Now, our national chairman and Andrew Breitbart are scheduled to go at it live on the air. Hell, they claim they want to do it some kind of thing on a national TV. I don't know. Either way, we'll take it. Whether television will come to your city, we'll meet you there head on, or if you got to do it over the air, we're going to do it over the air. But it's being set up now. We're not ducking any of you now. We're not ducking any of you. We heard all the pot shots. All of you from the so-called Jewish community taking shots at us, the ADL or the JDL. All of you taking shots at us. We're not ducking you at all. The Southern Poverty Law Center, we're not ducking you at all. Any of you out there, those of you who slander the legacy of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, we're not ducking you at all. We're coming at all of you. And I, with my national chairman, am leading the charge. I'm leading the charge as his representative. I'm coming at all of you, and I'm going to eat all of you by the grace of the Black God. By the grace of the Black God. I'm telling you, I'm not saying it with arrogance. I'm saying it because we're standing on truth. I don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed. Standing on truth. And so in saying all that, brothers and sisters, it's war time. It's time to battle for the minds and hearts of your people. It's time to battle against everything that suppresses your people. Tonight we've had a good lesson on the so-called Jews, or what is called Zionism. You can look that and see that in our 10-point program. We are 100% against Zionism. We are 100% against Zionism and the rule that ideology played in the establishment of the State of Israel, the so-called State of Israel. I know some of my Hebrew brothers and sisters are listening, and you all are big on that term Israel and us being the children of Israel, and you are right. We are the children of Israel. We are the real Hebrew people. We are the real Jews. It's us. That's why I've been saying so-called Jew the whole time. We're from the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah was an African tribe, an indigenous tribe. That's our people. That's us. And these so-called Jews, these Ashkenazi Jews, these Jews, these white folks from the caves and hillsides of Europe have stolen our birthright. They've stolen our prophecies, and they've put it on themselves. They've put it on themselves. Their scripture that our ancients wrote said that those of us who would be in bondage for 400 years in a strange land amongst a strange people would come out of that land with great substance. And the people, I'm paraphrasing, that held them in bondage, they would rule over them. And these so-called Jews come up out of the caves and hillsides of Europe, and they use that for themselves. We're going to be going after Zionism. We're going to be going after the so-called Jews who organized a hit, a planned assassination attempt on the life of the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And I would even say a successful assassination of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad through the machinery of the so-called Jews. We're coming after you. We're coming after you and your Zionism, your movement to unite the so-called Jews of the diaspora and settle them in the Palestinian land. See, the real, as Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz has told us, the real land question has not even been answered yet. See, right now we side with the Palestinians because the enemy of your enemy is your brother and your sister. We side with the Palestinians. We ride with the Palestinians. But even Palestine belongs to the African, belongs to the black man and black woman. And until you divide the house up righteously amongst the sons and daughters of Africa, the mothers and fathers of civilization, our people, the real land question will not be answered. We know about you coming up in the 19th century, coming up in 1948. To establish your so-called state of Israel, which I said on the Stage Right show is an illegitimate settler colony. We know about you coming from the term Zion, the hill on which the Temple of Jerusalem was located and came to symbolize Jerusalem, or what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the black nation meant city founded in peace. See, we got the history on you. But so now that we got the history on you, now we're coming out swinging on you. So I'm your brother. I'm your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. I'm Sean Kwali, happy to be able to serve my people and hold the line as a black warrior in the new Black Panther Party and representing under the leadership of Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz with the spirit of the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. For those of you out there, join this movement, nbpphu@yahoo.com. We're going to make this enemy pee in his pants and her pants at nighttime. We're putting 5,000 new members in the new Black Panther Party. We've opened up the ranks of the new Black Panther Party for membership. New Black Panther Party is open for applications. We're looking for qualified men and women in various fields. Whether you're in information, whether you're in technology, whether you're in defense, whether you're in economics, no matter what you're in, if you're in the cultural thing, if you're up there in the history thing, if you're in the professional thing, whatever, as Chairman Bobby Scheer said, whatever your bag is, the new Black Panther Party is open to you. And we got a place for you in this Day of Action movement and the community survival community programs of our people. And so I'm your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle, Sean Kwali, signing off. Of this Black Power Radio, and asking that you join me in this battle for the minds and hearts of our people as we wage war on everything that is oppressive and build for ourselves a nation of our own, ideology of our own, a thought of our own, and goals and laws of our own. Black power for black people and freedom of death.
Until the philosophy, which holds one race superior and another inferior, is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned, everywhere is war. It's a war.